We're holding on page 106. We're holding on page 106 in Baba Basra, Ois Chofbein. We started learning yesterday about the size of a Sefer Torah, which was, we started talking about the order of whether you can have Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim in one big scroll, and all of that. And we talked about the ideal size of a Sefer Torah. So now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn a Braisa, or the printed Gemara has the Girsa Meisi. The Gemara asks a question from, we're going to have a long description of the Oren in the Mishkan and the Chorus of Beis Mikdash. And from that, we're going to come out with a question about what we're saying about the proper size of a Sefer Torah. We said the ideal size is, if the Sefer Torah is written on Gzil, which is a thick parchment, not split into two layers, then the ideal is to have it be six. Then you should have it six fucking tall, because that way it will come out. That way it will come out the right proportions. So the Gemara says. So the Gemara brings a bright as follows. Oren she'osam Moshe. The Oren that Moshe made. Tzal made it. It's named after Moshe because he supervised it. Whatever. Amosayim v'chetzi orkoi v'amav v'chetzi rochboi v'amav v'chetzi kaimase. As the pasuk says, it was 2.5 amos long by 1.5 wide by 1.5 tall. Now, we're going to have, as we go through the Braisa over here, throughout Shas, there's machlokas about the size of the Amma as it relates to the Kalim of the Mishkan. Everybody agrees that when it comes to the buildings of the Mishkan and the Beis Mikdash, the Amma consists of six tefachim. There's machlokas when it comes to the Kalim, whether it's the same thing. There are certain parts of the Mizbeach, which the Gemara explains in Menachos, there are certain parts of the Mizbeach that are measured in five tefach amos, but as far as the Kalim, there's machlokas. You have Reb Meir, as we're going to see over here, holds that an amma is always six tefachim unless otherwise specified, so therefore the Kalim as well, then an amma is six tefachim. Whereas we're going to have soon the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that an amma, when it comes to the kalim, is only five tefachim. So first we're going to calculate, according to Rabbi Meir, the size of the oren and how the space in it was used.
And how the
space in it was used. So it was 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. The amma shell bas shisha tefachim, and that consists, according to Rabbi Meir, those ammas all consist of six tefachim. Therefore, it comes out, according to the mayor, the outside dimensions of the Oren are 15 tefachim long, 2.5 times 6, by 9 tefachim wide, by 9 tefachim deep. In other places, the Gemara mentions that you have 9 tefachim for the height of the Oren, plus 1 tefach for the kaparis. Therefore, we see that 10 tefachim is considered a reshus of its own. The Gemara mentions in Sukkah that lo yod shchina lamata me'asara, that the shchina has never come below 10 tefachim to the ground, because we see that it rested, that the shchina rested on top of the kaparis, which is 10 tefachim from the ground. So this is the coin of Meir then. So therefore, that's the dimensions of the Oren. Now the luchos, orkon shisha, each one was 6 tefachim long, the rochban shisha, and 6 tefachim wide, the avyon shloisha, and the thickness of each of the two luchos was 3 tefachim. You have the common depiction of the luchos that you find in many places, even in many shuls and then sfarim and whatnot, is with rounded tops. We see from this Gemara that it's not so, because we see the Gemara is going to discuss how the luchos fit in the Oren and how all the space was used up, and there's nothing about round tops. Where did the idea with round tops come from? I saw once a theory that in the Middle Ages they used to write onto the common writing tablets that people used for writing notes and then letters on, had rounded tops, and people therefore imagined the tablets, the luchos, to be the same thing. My mother actually once came up with an interesting idea that with rounded tops is also the shape of tombstones. So maybe the idea was the Goyim therefore invented that as if to imply Chas v'Shalom that we're goners. Be that as it may. Rounded top tablets. You know, you find in many shuls. You'll find with they. She said that it may be like tombstones, new like Matzeis. Okay. In any case, the Rebbe, of course, pointed out all the years that they really are square. In Lubavitcher publications, they've always been depicted as square, or sometimes rectangular, actually. There's a Yerushalmi that discusses also the Oren and how the luchos were placed in it, and it says that each of the luchos was 6 by 3. So according to that Yerushalmi, the two of them together are 6x6, but each one by itself is a rectangle. So you can find in some places, sometimes the luchos are depicted rectangular for that reason. Anyway, but our Gemara is saying they were each 6x6. Umunachos kineged or la'orka shel oren. Now they're placed along the length of the oren, meaning if we follow, was going first over here according to the Meir, the oren's length is 15 tochim. Of that 15, 12 of them is taken, okay, that's the continue. How much space do the luchos take up in the oren? They take up 12, 6 plus another 6. What happened to the broken luchos? We'll talk about them later, but right now we're focusing on the second luchos. So now at this point you have 3 tefachim left of the length of the oren. What do we do with that?
We
have 12 and we have 15. So 15 minus 12 is 15. Say mehem tefach mechza lekoisel zeb umechza lekoisel. Say mehem tefach. So subtract from that 1 tefach. Mechza lekoisel zeb umechza lekoisel zeb. The walls of the oren, according to the Meir, are a half a tefach thick. Are half a tefach thick. So the thickness of the walls makes up the 13th tefach. Nishayrus from shnei tefachim. Then Rameo continues, that leaves us 2 tefachim, Shabahem Sefer Torah Munach. Now, in them, there was a Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote placed inside the Aron, in those 2 tefachim. Now, once we go through the whole Braisa, then the Gemara is going to explain that this is the question that we had before. We said a Sefer Torah is supposed to be 6 tefachim tall, so how is it? So the Gemara has to figure out how exactly it fits into the space. But first, let's go on. First of all, how do we know, Bechlal, that there was a Sefer Torah in the Aron? Shenema, the Pasuk says, Ein ba'oren rak shnei. The Pasuk says, when they brought the Oren into the first base of Mikdash, there was nothing in the Oren, only the 2 tablets of stone, Asher Hiniach Sham Moshe B'Chorev, that Moshe had placed at Chorev at Har Sinai. Now, what's this expression? My Ein Ba'Oren Rak, when it says there was not in the Oren, only this is miut achamiut. This is what's called a miut achamiut. One exclusion after another exclusion. Because in other words, if the Pasuk wanted to actually tell us that there was only one, that there was only one thing in the Oren, namely the Luchos, it would say Ein Ba'Oren. It would say Ein Ba'Oren. It wouldn't say both Ein and Rak. Ba'Oren Rak Shnei Luchos Avonim. When it says Ein and Rak, that's Miut Achamiut. One exclusion after another exclusion. The Ein Miut Achamiut Elo Rabbis. And we have a general rule in many places in Shas that when we have one exclusion after another one, then it actually comes to include something. The Pasuk is hinting that there was something else inside the Oren, together with the Luchos, namely a Sefer Torah. Elo, Rabbah, Sefer Torah, Munach Shom Ba'Oren, so it includes the Sefer Torah that was also placed inside the Oren. Okay. So that's how the 15 tefachim, according to the Meir, that's how the 15 tefachim of the length of the Oren are taken up. Going from one side to another, a half a tefach of wool, 12 tefachim of the Luchos, side by side, two tefachim for the Sefer Torah, and another half tefach for the wall. Okay, Pirnasta Oren La'orka, now that thereby you've explained, you've clarified how you have how the entire length of the Oren has been taken up. Seu Parnas Oren La'rochbay, now go and figure out the width of the Oren, how the 9 tefachim, according to the Meir, how the 9 tefachim of space inside of the Oren, from counting from one side to the other, and including the walls, how was that used up? Kama luchos oichlus ba'oren shisha tefachim, the luchos take up 6 tefachim in the Oren, because again, we're saying that each luach was 6x6, and the Gemara is obviously assuming that they placed the luchos face up. The idea was, in other words, basically, if you were to open the Oren, you would be able to read the Luchos one next to the other. Again, when the Yerushalmi talks about the Luchos possibly being 3 tefachim wide, and there's different other opinions about it, there are possibilities, there are different possibilities in Midrashim and in Mefoshim that maybe the Luchos were placed on their sides. But the Hiur Or Gemara is not following any such opinion. They were placed face up.
No, face up.
Face up. Face up. Okay. So, Nishtairusham Gimel Tvachim, so you have 9 Tvachim to start with, now you've taken up 6 with the Luchos. Same man Tefach, again, subtract 1 Tefach from it. Mechzel Kozel Zel, Mechzel Kozel Zel, half a Tefach for the one wall, half for the other. So now you've accounted for 7 Tvachim. Nishtairusham Shnei Tvachim. Now you have left 2 Tvachim along the length of the Oren.
You started out with
9. Mm-hmm. You used up 6 and then another 1 for the wall. That leaves 2. So that too is Shemoyahe Sefer Torah Nichnas V'yotzik Shul Dochuk. The reason for that is when you need to take out the Sefer Torah or when you need to put it back in, it shouldn't be crowded. You should be able to easily reach in and be able to grasp it. So in other words, what you have is the luchos would be centered in the eight tfachim that make up the inside space of the Orin, the eight tfachim of the width of the Orin that are left after you have the walls, you would have a tefach of empty space, then the sixth tfachim of the luchos, then another tefach of empty space, and the purpose of that is so that when you want to take out or put in the Sefer Torah, you'll be able to do it easily. Because you have a tefach is the width of a hand, and therefore you'll be able to stick in your hands and take out the Sefer Torah. When that Sefer Torah was used, by the way, is an interesting question in itself. One explanation is that it was used when the Kohen Gadol would lean from the Torah on Yom Kippur in the middle of the Avodah. The Mishnayos in Yoma described how at one point there was a break in the Avodah, and during that time the Kohen Gadol would lean from a Sefer Torah, so then he would lean from that, and then according to that, that would also be the same Sefer Torah that when it was a year of Hakel, then a few days later the king would use it to read to the Tzibur by Hakel. On Sukkot time, which is a few days after Yom Kippur, yeah. Right. How they would get it in and how they would get it out is another question. One explanation that Rav Yoh, a famous Rishon, explains that when the Kohen Gadol went in to we know the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim four times on Yom Kippur. First with the blood of the par, then with the blood of the sawyer, first with the ketores, then the blood of the par, then the blood of the sawyer, then he would come in later in the day in a new change of clothing to remove the spoon of ketores, the empty spoon of ketores, and the pan of coals that he had used. So four times he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
You said that he came first time with the ketores?
First time he would come in with the ketores.
Ketores.
With the ketores. Yeah. So the Rav Yoh learns that when he came in that first time, he would take out the Sefer Torah, and then later on in the day, when he's coming to take out the kaf and machta, the spoon and the pan of coals, then he would put back the Sefer Torah. And then if it wasn't a year of Hakel. If it was a year of Hakel, then he would leave it out, and then they would keep it out for the rest of the year and put it back in before the following Yom Kippur, or after the following Yom Kippur. This is how the Rav Yoh learns, yeah. The Sefer Torah, right. Mm-hmm. So Divrei Rav Meir, this is how Rav Meir learns how the space was used in the Aron. Mefarshim also talk, by the way, according to the mayor, if we're saying you have two tefachim along the length of the Aron, then why didn't they put the Sefer Torah there? Why does he say it had to be next to the luchos? And the answer is because we're going to learn further on. The pasuk says that you should place the Sefer Torah mitzad aron bris Hashem at the side of the Aron, implying that it has to be at the side next to the luchos, not on top of them or below them. Symbolically, in other words, there's the idea, like, you're reading the luchos, you're reading the Aseres HaDibros, and from that, you go straight to the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah, after all, the whole Torah is hinted at in the Aseres HaDibros, so you're going in order. First, you're reading the Aseres HaDibros, and then you're reading the whole Torah from the Sefer Torah.
So the Torah should be next to the luchos.
So the Sefer Torah is next to the luchos, rather than above them or below them, right? Okay. This is how Rav Meir learns it. Rabbi Yehuda calculates differently. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Oren was measured in Amos of 5 Tfachim, because according to him, all the Kalim in the Beis Mikdash were made with Amos of 5 Tfachim. So now let's recalculate. So therefore, that the Oren, instead of being, like Rabbi Meir had said, 15 by 9 by 9, he would make it to be 12 and a half by 7 and a half by 7 and a half. Because 5 times 2.5 is 12.5. 5 times 1.5 is 7.5. But he agrees on the size of the luchos. Orkan shisha v'rochman shisha v'ovyan shloisha. The length and width of each of the luchos is 6 tfachim, and the thickness of each of the luchos is 3 tfachim. Munachos v'orkan shal aron, and he also agrees they were placed along the length of the aron. So we have to recalculate, says Rabbi Yehuda. Kama luchos oichos v'oren. So now, how much space do the luchos take up along the length of the oren? Yudbeis tefachim, 12 tefachim. In that he agrees. In that part he agrees with Rav Meir. Nishtar shem chatzi tefach. According to him, at this point, all you have left is a half a tefach, because the whole length of the oren, according to him, is 12.5 tefachim. Well, then he says, nishtar shem chatzi tefach. So you have left a half a tefach. The etzba la koisel zeh. That tefach, then that half a tefach consists of 4 etzbos. So you have an etzba thickness for one wall and an etzba thickness for the other wall. According to him, there's no other space for anything else along the length of the Aron. So according to him, the thickness of the walls of the Aron is half of what Rav Meir assigns it. And unlike Rav Meir, who has 2 tefachim available for the Sefer Torah, Rav Yehuda does not. according to him, where is the Sefer Torah? We're going to talk about soon. Next, Pirnasta Oren L'Rochbo. So now you've taken care of the length of the Oren. You've calculated how the entire length of it was used. Say your Pirnas Oren L'Rochbo. Now go calculate the width. How it was used. Kama luchas oichlos, or oigdos ba'oren, how much space do the luchas take up in the oren? Oichlos would literally mean eats up. Oigdos means like a Meloshan egged, like vines up. Either way, it means, in other words, takes up. Ba'oren, shisha tfachim, again, the luchas are six tfachim in width. The shtayrish from tefachim mechze. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, all you have left is 1.5 tfachim, because according to him, the width of the oren is 7.5. So you have left only 1.5 to work with. Say mehen chatzi tefach. First of all, subtract the one tefach. Etzvo mechzel kosel zeh. The etzvo mechzel kosel zeh. Where you have 1.5 etzbos for the thickness of each of the walls. Now Rashi points out like this. Before we said an etzba, now we're saying an etzba and a half. What's going on? Rashi explains like this. When we talk about, when we say a tefach is 4 etzbos, we mean 4 thumb widths. But you know, your fingers are different widths. Instead of calling a tefach 4 thumb widths, we can equally well call it 6 pinky widths.
Six pinkies.
Six pinkies. That will six pinkies will equal Rashi explains it will be 4 thumbs, 5 middle fingers, or 6 pinkies. Proportionally, that's the proportion of the size of the fingers. Therefore, when we talk, when we say etzva umechza, we're talking about pinkies. So 1.5 pinkies equals 1 thumb. Rashi says there's another girsa just has the word etzva, in which case then we're being consistent and just saying the same etzva that we said before, meaning a thumb. Either way, in other words, the point is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the wall, all 4 walls of the Oren were the same thickness, 1 thumb, or if you want to put it in terms of pinkies, 1.5 pinkies. So you have that for each of the walls. So now you've taken up so far 6.5 tefachim of the width of the Oren. Mishkayrisham tefach. Now at this point, says Rabbi Yehuda, you have left only 1 tefach. What was in that tefach? Shasham amudim oivim. There you had silver sticks were placed over there. Now, what do these silver sticks represent? So there's a lot of different points about it. Tosfos says that it's a siman that, just like the sticks stand tall and firm, the same way it represents as a good siman for the Jewish people, that we should also continue to stand tall. Marsha adds that they also represent the two main pillars, the two main supports of the Jewish people, Yehuda and Yosef. And now Maharsha says that would also explain why they were made out of silver. Why not make them out of gold? The answer is, since one of them represents Yosef, and Yosef, in turn, his symbol of his shevet, is a shtur, an ox. If we had a golden stick over there representing Yosef, it would be a kateger. It would be an accusation reminding the Eibishter all the time of the chet ha'egel, and therefore we want to make them out of silver instead.
Yehuda,
no. Once one of them is silver, then the other one's going to be silver as well, yeah. A number of the Mephoshim learn that actually what it was is these would also be used as the Atzei Chaim. The Adama and others talk about these would be used as the Atzei Chaim for the Sefer Torah. It comes out from the Gemara's discussion over here, as we're going to go through, it comes out that the Sefer Torah, when it was kept in Moshe's Sefer Torah, when it was kept in the Oren, was not usually rolled on Atzei Chaim. But they need to learn from it in public. So then they need Atzei Chaim. So according to that, then, these silver poles, when it came time to learn from the Torah in public, when the Kohen Gadol would learn from it on Yom Kippur, when the king would learn from it by Hakel, then they would attach it to the silver poles, and then it had Atzei Chaim, and then they would learn from it.
Which Atzei Chaim?
The poles of a Sefer Torah. Yeah. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda says that those poles were placed inside the Oren. As far as Rabbi Meir, what Rabbi Meir says they did with those poles, we'll talk about later. Shenema, and how do we know that there are poles in connection with the Oren? Shenema, the pasuk says that Pirion Osalei Hamelach Shloimeh Me'atzei Halavonin, King Shloimeh made for himself an apirion, which means like an apirion is like a fancy chamber, like where kings and princes and noblemen and whatever are carried around in it. So that represents the Oren. Now Hamelach Shloimeh in Shir HaShirim, generally speaking, refers to the Eibishter. So we don't mean something that Shloimeh made for the first time when he was king. 500 years after Yitzchak's Mitzrayim, we mean HaMelech Shlomo means Hashem made it. So he made himself this apirion, so to speak, this honorable place for him, for his Shechina to be carried around in. And the pasuk continues, Amudav Osa Kesef, it says he made his poles out of silver. Now, it can't mean the poles with which they carried the Aron. The Pasuk says those were plated with gold. So therefore, it has to mean these silver sticks that are inside the Aron. Okay. Next, continues Rabbi Yehuda. The argas sheshigru by plishtim durim levekei Yisrael munach sham betzidai. Next to the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was placed a box in which the plishtim had placed a gift for Hashem. You have in Sefer Shmuel, it tells how at one point the Jewish people took out the Aron to battle against the Plishtim, and the Plishtim captured the Aron, and then Mishkan Shilu was destroyed, and so on and so forth. You have a whole, but then the pasuk goes on to describe the Plishtim brought the Aron and they put it in the temple of one of their getchkas called Dagon, and a couple of times the idol falls down and is broken, and they don't get the hint yet, and Hashem starts sending terrible plagues against them, mice and hemorrhoids and all kinds of things, and
hemorrhoids.
And internal swellings and bleedings, and then they're having a very rough time of it, and it takes them a long time, altogether 7 months, the Pasuk says, the Aron was by them, and then they finally wise up and they realize, you know what, the Jewish God is angry at us, we better return his Aron. So the Pasuk,
and then they give a gift.
The Pasuk says they ask their priests and they ask their priests and their magicians. These are people in the Plishti in Plishti society who have more of a connection to Ruchnius. So they ask them, what should we do? What is an appropriate gift to send to the Jewish God together with his Aron? So the priests and the magicians tell them, you should send golden images of mice and of swellings. That way you'll show with that you recognize that these mice and these swellings and all that was not just something random. This is Hashem punishing you. And that way you'll give images of those as a gift to Hashem. So sure enough, they did that. They made those and they put them in a box and when they sent the Aron back, they sent it on a wagon. Nisim happened while the wagon was coming. Anyway, they had the box with it, and from then on that box remained together with the Aron. So it was placed next to it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Bes klei hazav asher ashevoisim loy osham." The priests tell them, the plishti priests, the golden kalim, the golden mice and whatnot, that you're giving back to Hashem as a guilt offering to represent to recognize that you were guilty in taking the Aron. Tosimu ba'agas mitzido, they're going to place it in a box next to the Aron and then send it on its way in the wagon. So from then on, that box always remained together with the Aron.
Is that while after Shlomo Melech's time?
This is before Shlomo Melech's time. This is before Shaul. This is before Shaul had even been appointed king. Let's put it this way. This story, the Aron, in Sefer Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph, the Aron is captured in Perek Dalet. The Plishtim are putting it in the temple of Dagon and suffering all their plagues and whatnot in Perek Hay. Perek Vav, they return it. Meanwhile, Shaul doesn't even appear on the scene until Perek Tes. So this is right after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, but a few during the time when Shmuel was leading the Jewish people by himself.
It was okay.
By the way, you might ask, it was a nice gift of the Plishtim, but is it something worthwhile that for all time it should be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Aron? I think one thing of it is, you think about it, you have in last week's parasha and in this week's parasha, the Eved stresses over and over, I want the Mitzriim to realize Ki Ani Hashem, that I'm Hashem. And you see, maybe some Mitzriim did absorb that message, and that's why some of them became the Eved Rav, but nevertheless, the mass of the Mitzri people didn't. Here you have, for the first time, the Plishtim, an entire nation recognizes, you know what? Hashem is boss. We got to give him a gift. We can't allow him. We have to take away his anger against us. That kind of thing deserves to be highlighted, and that kind of thing deserves to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for all time.
The Eid of Rav were all Mitzrayim, or
different? They were all Mitzrayim, but some of them at least were. Yeah. Anyway. So, all of Sefer Torah Munach. So now, Rabbi Yehuda continues, the Sefer Torah that Rabbi Meir had said was inside the Aron, says Rabbi Yehuda, no, the Sefer Torah was placed on top of that box. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, L'koyach HaSefer HaTorah Azeh, take the Sefer Torah, the Samtam Osim Tzad Aron Bris Hashem, and place it on the side of the Aron of the covenant of Hashem. That means, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mitzad means Mitzidoi Munach, means it's placed next to the Luchos, not it's placed next to the Aron, V'loi B'Soichoi, not inside the Aron. So the Meir would understand Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem means at one side of it, meaning it was inside it, but at one side and not along the middle or the length of it, like we said before. But Rabbi Yehuda says Mitzad implies outside of it. Ha mani makayim ein ba'oren rak. So says Rabbi Yehuda, What am I doing with the pasuk from Malachim that we quoted before, with the double miut, ein and rak, which we said teaches us that there's something else in the Aron besides the luchos? Says Rabbi Yehuda, l'rabas shivrei luchos shmunachos v'aron. That comes to include the broken luchos, the first luchos, are placed in the Aron. But not that, but nothing else besides the two sets of luchos was placed in the Aron according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara is going to deal further on with certain other details. Where was the Sefer Torah until the Plishtim sent the box, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Where were the gold, where were the silver sticks, etc.? But the point is now at least that we presented Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda's opinions, now the Gemara is ready to ask its question. By the way, again, you have in different other places in the Yerushalmi, where it talks about how the space in the Aron was used, the Yerushalmi has an opinion that there were actually two different Aronos. One contained the whole Luchos, one contained the broken Luchos. But our Gemara is saying that no, both of them were in the one Aron that Bezalel had made under Moshe's direction, and that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
It took them 7 months to return the Aron.
7 months to return the Aron, so the Plishtim, yeah. Goyisha kept. I guess they don't figure things out that fast. Yeah. Even then, by the way, you know, you find in the psukim, by the way, they were trying to do a test. You know, if the cows that are pulling the wagon with the Aron go straight to Beis Shemesh, which is the nearest Jewish city, then we'll know that this is all caused by Hashem. If they go in some other direction, then we'll know this whole thing was random. So even then, they're not really fully believing. It is an important thing to highlight that whole nation of the Plishtim for the first time recognized the Eivishter's power. That's a big thing. But you know, at the end of it, it's worth pointing out. Actually, the pasuk says that the Plishti officials, the top officials, are following the wagon to see what happens. Sure enough, it goes to Beis Shemesh. They unload it on top of a rock over there, the Aron, and they bring the cows as korbanos and so forth. And then the pasuk says an interesting thing. It says the five Saune Plishtim, the five Plishti governors, saw all this, and they returned to Ekron, which was the nearest Plishti city on that day. So you think about it, what it means. They'd seen a whole bunch of open nistim, one on top of the other. You'd think maybe they were a little curious. We should find out more about the Jews and their religion or whatever. Show's over. Let's go by Yeshua after and by Yemo. Let's just go back home. You know, they didn't want to convert, but apparently they didn't even motivate them enough to think of accepting Shev Mitzvot and Noyach or anything of that sort.
Where's your Beis Shemesh? What was it?
Beis Shemesh is the city, you know, it's Israel. Adar Yom Hazeh, a city.
And this is what they're waiting there?
Well, that's.
It was a holy city.
It was a Jewish city. It was the nearest Jewish city to Plishti territory. Okay. Onwards. So, the Gemara says, Now, if you're going to tell me that a Sefer Torah's circumference is supposed to be 6 tefachim, we said before, a Sefer Torah written on Gvil should be 6 tefachim tall, and the circumference, the distance around it would be 6 tefachim. Now, Mechti, let's consider. We know the rule, we know the mathematical rule, Kol sheyesh be hakeifer gimel tefachim, yesh be reichav tefach. A circle that has a circumference of 3 tefachim has a diameter across from one side to the other of 1 tefach. Now, mathematically, that's not exact. Mathematically, it's a little bit less than that. It's described by they use a Greek letter pi to represent it, which is approximately 3 1/7. The Gemara throughout Shas always assumes that it is exact. So now the Gemara, but even if it's not, the point is fine. You still have a Sefer Torah is not wound quite so tightly. So the kivin de la'emtzi'is in niglal. Now the question is, if we assume that the Sefer Torah in the Aron was rolled to the middle, nafesh le'mitzrei tifcha, ravcha de beni beni, then it would be the width of it from one side to another would be more than 2 tefachim because you have the space between one roll and another. Think of a Sefer Torah that's rolled up on 2 atzei chayim. You have the size of each individual roll, let's say from Bereshis to Vayikra and from Vayikra to Devarim, let's say, but then you have the space between the two rolls, the triangular space. So once you add all that up, so it would be more than 2 tefachim. Mitzrei pushti hechi yosiv. How would it fit? How would it fit into 2 tefachim? The Gemara is obviously understanding that the Sefer Torah would be laying down or maybe standing up, but it wouldn't just be. It would have to be somehow that the Gemara is b'pashtus assuming the Sefer Torah is laying down. There is in fact an interesting machloikas Rashi and Tosfos whether when it comes to it, what is a more respectful way to store Sefer Torah, lying down or standing up. In particular, you have a similar machlokas as far as mezuzah as well. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam argue whether a mezuzah should be placed vertically or horizontally. So one of the sources is from here, where we see that a Sefer Torah is laying down. So then it would be more than two tefachim. How would it fit? According to the mayor, that it fit in two tefachim, how would that work?
You said that Sefer Torah is six tefachim wide?
Six tefachim wide when it's rolled into one big roll. But the Gemara is assuming that
how
it was rolled...
Tefachim, and it's going to be how many tefachim?
So then if it's six tefachim around, it would be two tefachim across. But then that's two tefachim if it was all rolled as one big roll. But a Sefer Torah is usually rolled somewhere in the middle. So then it's going to take more than two tefachim. The answer is Amar Abaye by Yaakov Sefer Ezra l'tchilasa hu niglo. The answer is the Sefer of Ezra, which if the Girsa is Sefer Ezra, that it would mean one that was written by Ezra HaSofer. If the other Girsa is Sefer Azara, meaning the Sefer that was kept in the Azara, and that was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is inside the Azara, and was used to lay in the Azara, in the Ezra's Noshim, by the Kohen Gadol and by the king. Anyway, l'tchilasa hu niglo, it's rolled to the beginning. So yeah, Rashi has the gives of Sefer Ezra. With Chiloser who niglo, it's rolled to the beginning. They would only have one Eitz Chaim for it, and instead of rolling it into two rolls like we do with our Sefer Torah, instead they would roll it into one big roll to the beginning. And then when they needed to lane from it on Yom Kippur, where they're laning from Chumash Vayikra, and when they needed to lane for the king in Chumash Devarim, then they would roll it to those respective Chumashim. By the way, in that connection, you know, you have the story in Sefer Melachim and in Divrei Yomim, when in the times of Yoshiyahu, one of the last kings of Yehuda, they were renovating the Beis Hamikdash, and they found the Sefer Torah, and they brought it to Yoshiyahu, and he was very moved by it, and he realized right away we have to have a massive Tshuva movement and get rid of every vestige of Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. What was the big deal that they found the Sefer Torah? There's a lot of different opinions among Midrashim and Mephoshim. One explanation is that it was found that, firstly, there's an explanation that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's original Sefer Torah, which they thought had been lost. There's a lot of other explanations. Anyway, one explanation is that they found it rolled to the middle of the Teuchacha in Parshas Kisavai. In particular, when they first opened it, the first pasuk they noticed is Yoylech Hashem Oischaves Malkacha, that Hashem said, you and your king are going to go into Golos. And therefore, Yeshua realizes that Golos is close, and therefore that's why he also right away took steps to have the Oren hidden away so it wouldn't fall into the hands of the Goyim. So that's the point. From our Gemara over here, you see how unusual it was. Usually that Sefer Torah would be rolled to Parshas Bereishis, and here all of a sudden it's in the middle of Kisavai.
Say how many years Yeshua was king?
Yeshua was king 31 years.
31
this happened in his 18th year of his rule.
Yeah, 13 years.
Okay, well, there was 13 years, and then there were another 22 years of his son, three sons, and one grandson of his were kings after him. Altogether, from when the Sefer Torah was found until the Churban was 36 years.
Well, he was king for 31 years.
He was king altogether for 31 years. This story happened in the 18th year of his reign, yeah.
Another 13 years, no more.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
And they were all captured by the Goyim?
No, so the Gemara actually in Yoma has different opinions whether the Oren was captured by the Goyim and brought to Babel or whether it was hidden below the Beis Mikdash. The Rambam Paskins according to the opinion that it was hidden below the Beis Mikdash. And is there Adar Yemazeh? And the Rebbe talks about Nesicha that the point of that is that therefore the second Beis Mikdash had the full Kedusha of the Beis Mikdash because a Beis Mikdash doesn't really have, the Mishkan or a Beis Mikdash doesn't really have its full Kedusha unless the Oren is in its place. So the Rebbe develops the idea that there are two valid places for the Oren in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or underneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
And what happened with Yeshua and the family?
Yeshua himself was killed in battle by Paro Nechoi. That's a whole story in itself. His children, yeah, one of them was taken prisoner by the same Paro Nechoi. Another one, two of them, and then the other three by Nebuchadnezzar, yeah. Anyway, so the point is, therefore, so this Sefer was rolled to the beginning, and therefore, so it's one big roll, so you don't have to worry about more than two Tvachim. It would be exactly two Tvachim. But the Gemara still asks, "Vakati tshei b'tshei heichi yosef." Still, how does two tefachim fit in exactly two tefachim? Now again, Balabatish, you would answer because the two tefachim is not exact. If a Sefer Torah is six tefachim around, it means a little less than two across mathematically because pi is a little more than three. But the Gemara is taking the assumption that it really is exact. And before Shem talk about again, because you can't necessarily roll it up that tightly, or because there is an Eitz Chaim in there all the time, or whatever. Anyway, so the question is still, how would it fit? The answer is, the answer is, Amar Rav Ashi, the Korich Beit Purta B'Karuch El'el. The answer is, says Rav Ashi, they didn't roll it all the way to the beginning of Chumash Bereishis. What they did is they kept it mostly near the beginning, but they rolled a little bit of it and made a little roll of it on top. So you have a big roll containing most of the Torah, let's say from Parashas Noach until the end, and then on top of that, you have a smaller roll, which consists of, let's say, Parashas Bereishis and Noach or something like that. So therefore, so they rolled up just enough of it into a second roll to be able to make it fit. To make it fit in the two Tvarim.
Thick.
Fit.
Fit.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fine. Okay. So it's not a contradiction to that we were saying a Sefer Torah is supposed to be six tefachim across, because in fact, six tefachim around and therefore two tefachim across, they made it fit. Now, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda, mikama deloisei argaz, so you have to ask, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they placed the Sefer Torah on top of the box that the Plishtim sent, before that box came there, Sefer Torah, hecha ava yosef, where was the Sefer Torah then? The answer is data have a nafik minei. The answer is there was a shelf sticking out of the oren, the yosef ilavei sefer Torah, and the sefer Torah was placed on that. So when the box came along, then they don't need the shelf anymore. Now they can put the sefer Torah on the box. But up until then, it was on that shelf.
Yeah, it's a very
There's a sticha in Chelik Tess where the Rebbe analyzes, there's a Rashi at the end of Parashas Vayelech, brings these two opinions. Nechlaku v'chachme Yisrael. He says, v'chachme Yisrael argue, where was the Sefer Torah located? Rebbe Meir inside the Oren and Rebbe Yehuda next to it. And the Rebbe analyzes in the sticha in great detail why Rashi brings both opinions and why he brings the names of the Manda Omers and so forth. And the Rebbe explains the deeper idea behind it is, how do we look at it? We have the Aseres Adibros, Hashem's direct communication to the whole Jewish people at Har Sinai. Then we have the Torah, which Moshe taught the Jewish people, Mipi Agvora. It was dictated by Hashem, but it's like now taking the Aseres Adibros and bringing them down to the level of the Jewish people, kind of. So now, when it comes to, for example, in future generations, a Rebbe teaching his Talmidim, like the relationship of the Sefer Torah to the Luchos, does it have to be inside the Aron? Does it have to be at the same high level as the Luchos themselves? That's Reb Meir's opinion. Whereas Reb Yehuda says, no, it can be at a lower level, because you're talking with the outside world, and therefore you have it symbolically, therefore you have it on a shelf or on a box outside the Aron rather than inside of it. And then it explains, in other words, Reb Meir was learned on a very high level, so much so, the Gemara tells us in Eruvin, even Reb Meir's own colleagues, the other Chachamim, couldn't always understand his das, so therefore he's able to talk about teaching Torah, teaching to a Talmud, on the same high level as the Rebbe himself knows. And therefore, in token of that, the Sefer Torah would be inside the Aron right next to the Luchos. Whereas Reb Yehuda is talking on a more commonplace level, and therefore according to him, there's a necessity when you're teaching a Talmud, it's going to be on a bit of a lower level than what you yourself did ever understand. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rav Meir. So what is Rav Meir hang mitzad aron my ovidlei? The fact is, the pasuk says the Sefer Torah is supposed to be mitzad the aron, which implies that Rav Yehuda says next to the aron, not inside of it. My ovidlei. How does Rav Meir understand that pasuk? The answer is, he says that all it means is that the Sefer Torah is on the side, on one side, rather than being between the luchas. Conceivably, you might have had the first luach, then the Sefer Torah, then the second one. No, mitzad means that it has to be next to the both luchas. But it could, after all, be inside the Oren, just at the side of the luchas, rather than between them. And again,
the luchas that were existing, not the broken ones.
We're talking about the whole luchas, yeah.
Right.
So again, the idea would be, in other words, that you have, you're symbolically, you're reading the luchas, and then from there you go directly to reading the Torah. Okay, the Gemara asks, but Rameyu amudim heichah havakaimu. Rameyu agrees that there were the silver sticks. According to him, where were those placed? And the answer is midbaroy. According to him, they were placed outside the Aron. Okay, but Rameyu shivrei luchas to munachim ba'Aron minale. What about, where does Rameyu learn that the broken luchas were placed in the Aron? Rabbi Yehuda, we said, had learned it from the pasuk re'ein ba'Aron rak. But Rameyu is using that to teach us the Sefer Torah was in the Aron. So where is he learning that the shivrei luchas were in the Aron? The answer is, he learns it from what Rav Huna says. What does it mean? The Pasuk says, when it's talking about how David was preparing to bring the Oren to Yerushalayim, so it says, he wanted to bring the Oren, Ashenikra Shem, that the name was called on it, Shem Hashem Tzvokas, the name of Hashem Tzvokas, Yoshev HaKruvim, who sits on the Kruvim, Olav, that name is called on the Oren. So So the expression shame, shame, the double expression of the name of Hashem means melamed shaluchas v'shivir luchas menachem ba'aron. From there we learn that the, both the whole luchas and the broken luchas are both placed in the aron. Marsha explains, in other words, the luchas were made, so to speak, by Hashem's hands. They represent the letters of Hashem's name. The Torah was given, the Torah before it was written down for us was written, as so to speak, the Medrash says, in black fire on white fire. So the double name Shem represents two sets of luchas. And the why we call Hashem Tzvaka is over here. Hashem of hosts is because you have Tzva Shemayim, and you have Tzva Shemayim, and you have Tzva Haaretz, the hosts in Shemayim, and the hosts on earth. The hosts in Shemayim are represented by the whole Luchas, just like each of them continues to last forever. Each star, each planet, each Malach exists indefinitely until from when Hashem created it. There's the expression Kayomim Be'ish. They each exist individually on an ongoing basis, as opposed to things down here on earth. Things are constantly born and grow and die, and therefore they're symbolized by the broken luchos.
And the Svarshim Baharetz is for the...
Svarshim is for the broken luchos, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Idach, what is Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? What does he do with that pasuk, Shem, Shem, Hashem, Tzvakas? He answers, Ahumi Boyle, the Chidr Rabbi Yechanan. He uses it to teach us what Rabbi Yechanan says. The Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Amr Rabbi Shimon Yechoy, Melamed Shashem, B'chok Kinuy of Munochen Ba'orein. Besides, not just the name of Hashem, Yubke, Babke, but all the nicknames, all the other alternate names of Hashem are placed in the Orein. Now, what that means, in other words, is, again, it has to do with the tzvokos. Marsha says that you have that the tzva shamayim are able to use Hashem's actual name, Yurkei Vavkei. The tzva shamata, you know, the us down here, we're only able to use Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so therefore, but both of those are represented in the Orin. In this Gemara is also in Soita, Marsha explains over there that it means that the Luchos themselves contain not just the name Yudke Vavke, but also the name Elikim, and also a couple, and also the name Kale, and all of those are written on the Luchos, which is inside the Arim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't mean that the broken Luchos were in the Arim. According to him, you don't learn that the broken Luchos were in the Arim. From there, you learn it from a different pasuk. Okay, the Gemara says the Idoch Nami Mvoila Lahochi. New doesn't Reb Meir also need to use that pasuk to teach us that point about all the names of Hashem being inside the Aron? So the Gemara says Enoch Nami. You're right. He does need to learn it from there. El Shivrei Luchos Menachem Ba'Aron Menalei. Where does Reb Meir learn that the Shivrei Luchos were placed in the Aron? He learns it Nafkalim at the Tanit of Yosef. He learns it from what Reb Yosef teaches in a Braisa. The Tanit of Yosef, when the pasuk says Hashem says to Moshe, Asher Shivarta, take the Luchos that you broke, the Samtam Ba'Aron, and place them in the Aron. Malamet Chal Luchos for Shivrei Luchos Menachem Ba'Aron. That teaches us that both sets of Luchos are placed in the Aron. The Idach. Rabbi Yehuda, what is the answer to that? He who learns that the broken luchas were in the Oren from a different pasuk, he says, he says, you need to learn that pasuk to teach us what Rish Lakish says. The Omer Rish Lakish, Asher Shibarta, when Hashem tells him that you broke, your strength should be increased, that you broke the luchas, you did the right thing by breaking them. How we learn that from that, for one thing, because Hashem doesn't criticize him for it, and there's a number of other different explanations. There's a famous sifter where it ever talks about the symbolism of it, is Moshe broke the luchos and was willing to sacrifice the Torah in order to save the Jewish people. And Hashem appreciated that. The Gemara mentions that in Shabbos as one of three things that Moshe did on his own initiative, and Hashem agreed with it. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach HaGa'ula, Ches Shavat, the Rebbe talks about the Nasi Ador as Mashiach. That means, first of all, Mashiach in the sense of the one who is anointed. And the Rebbe says, I won't object if people understand Mashiach in the sense of Mashiach Tzidkenu, because the truth is, yes, the Nasi Ador is the Mashiach of the generation. People are going to argue that talking like that and giving such titles are more than they can tolerate and more than they can understand. Doesn't matter, the Rebbe says, whether they can absorb it or not. We don't have time for them to absorb it with their seichel. Basically, this is how it is. Okay, continuing on halachas of alakai neshama and so forth. So if a person is getting up early in the morning and then he's planning to go back to bed for a while after that, a shenas keva, not just another nap, but he plans to go back to sleep for more than half an hour or whatever, what he should do at that point is say alakai neshama, but without the ending, without that baruch atah Hashem, machzir neshama, so go to mesim. Then when he wants to sleep again, say hamapul without the opening, just say without Hashem's name, baruch hamapul chevle shena, and not the end, baruch atah Hashem meilo olam kol b'chvodoy. Then when he wakes up the second second time, he'll say the full Elokai Neshama. As far as Al Matilas Yadayim, that he'll do the first time he wakes up. So in other words, the Seder would be that he'll wake up the first time, wash Negobaster, say Al Matilas Yadayim, say Asher Yotzer up until Ribon Kolamasim Adon Kolan Shomus, and leave off the last bracha. Then before he goes back to sleep, start Baruch Hamapo Chevla Shena Al Einai until Vahoyer Nai Peni Shana Moves, go back to sleep. When he wakes up later on for the second time, he'll say the full Olakai Neshama. Okay.